All right. As soon as the money changers get done back there. Well, let me just start off by saying welcome, each and every one of you. We got some new visitors in the place today. We don't call them visitors. We call them first-time attenders. Amen. We call them family around here. And we're grateful for you to be here this morning. This is my first Sunday that I've spoken. I don't know. It's been a couple, 3 weeks. So I'm a little rusty. But I did teach on Wednesday night. And I'll tell you something. With everything that's going on in the world and in what we face on a daily basis, there is a spiritual battle that is going on. There's a spiritual battle going on for our country. There's a spiritual battle going on for the church. There's a spiritual battle going on in our lives individually. Amen. And as I was speaking on Wednesday night about spiritual warfare and spiritual battles, we was talking briefly about the armor of God, and I felt quickened in my spirit to begin to start talking again about and to do a series on the pieces of the armor of God and what that's for. Now I taught this in 2018. I taught this on a Tuesday night Bible study. And so for some, it might be I don't even know what the word is. It might be like a refresher course. But listen, don't give up, because you missed something in the last time we went through this. Amen. And there's enough of us here today that weren't there on those Tuesday nights that it's going to be first time for you, and it's going to bless you. Amen. Listen, you know why I know it's going to bless you? Because God wants you and I to be set free from the things of this world. If you're here on Wednesday night, how many of you got attacked on Thursday morning? It was crazy for me. And I knew it was coming. We have to be prepared. I want to start talking about the armor of God. How many of us, here's a good question, how many of us are sick and tired of being sick and tired? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. How often have we said that we have been whipped up on by the enemy all week long? Amen? Well, Lord, this morning I just come before you and before your body today. And Lord, this preacher needs to decrease. God, I need your Holy Spirit to increase in me, Lord, that it wouldn't be me that they're hearing from, but that it would be you through your Holy Spirit, through this vessel today. God, that you would just simply speak today, God. Your people need your word, and your word is what sets us free. Lord, our minds are transitioned. Our minds are refreshed by the washing and the regeneration of the Word of God, Lord. And so I pray today, as we go through these scriptures, Lord, that you would bless, bring the increase, and help us to walk out of this place today empowered by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. And amen. Let me take a second to just welcome everybody by way of the internet today. We welcome you here, and I pray that you would grab a Bible, a pencil, and a piece of paper, and follow along, take some notes, and let God's Word enrich you as well. How many of you said this? I'm not happy with the things in my life, or the church for that matter, and there has got to be more to this life than what we're living. Three of us. Listen, there is an invisible battle that is taking place where you and I have the right and the privilege to, listen to this, to sway the balance toward victory in Jesus' name. How many of you would want to just walk in victory? Yeah. Amen. We just want to walk in victory. Turn with me to Ephesians, if you're not already there. Chapter 6. Starting in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul's wrapping up his book to the church of Ephesus. He has written this and he's leaving them with some final thoughts here. And this is what he says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to stop right there just for a minute. How be strong in the power of His might. Well, how strong is that? Pretty strong. You know how I know it's pretty strong? Because the Bible says that God is all-powerful. He's almighty. If He's all-powerful and if He's almighty, then that means there's nothing mightier than He is. And so when I begin to move and work and live and act through His power, guess what? There's not nothing that can beat me.
Hallelujah.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Put it on. Say, put it on.
Put it on.
Don't take it off. I'll do the preaching. Tell you what. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. That's a lot of standing. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And the church said, amen. Listen, sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. Listen, if you haven't figured it out yet, you need to get it figured out this morning that the church, that the Christian life is a battleground, it's not a playground. It's serious. It's heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. There's no, you know, no, it's smoking or non-smoking.
Right
on. Just being real. We face an enemy who is stronger than we are apart from the Lord. He is stronger than we are apart from the Lord. So what I really just said was, He is not more powerful than we are as we walk in the Lord. Amen. As Christians, we struggle. Or we wrestle. The enemy would have us believe that there is no struggle, that everything is fine. Everything is just, you know, life is a box of chocolates. But the truth of the matter is that as Christians, we are automatically antagonistic to the things of the devil. Simply by claiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're automatically in the realm of an antagonist. How many of you have been called an antagonist before and got in trouble for it? Me and Rick have, I'll guarantee you. You just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you get a check mark. Antagonist. Which is good. I'll do the preaching. Have we got an usher who can come sit by her, calm her down? Yeah. Well, you get saved, you get a bullseye put on you. In the Christian life, we battle against rulers and authority, which are the powerful evil forces of fallen angels that are headed up by the devil himself, who is a vicious fighter. But to withstand their attacks, you and I have got to come to a place where we learn to depend on God's strength and to use every piece of the armor of God. A football player is not going to go out and line up against a defensive player on an offensive line without having a helmet on. Well, it's just too bulky. I can't see good. It blocks my vision. Listen, you're going to get your brains knocked out if you don't put the helmet on. They're not going to go out there without their cleats on, because when they're going on a pattern and they go out there to they make their cut, they've got no traction. Their feet are going to fly out from under them. They're going to hit the dirt and it's going to be an end of play. You got to have on the full armor of God. Someone said, I will not risk open war. And someone else said, open war is upon you whether you risk it or not. Let me just break it down for you like this. If you're a child of God, you're in a war. You're in a battle. You are in the fight of the century. But the reality is, as God's children, we already win. We the battle's been won, but there are little skirmishes that we have to fight. So you and I got to choose today to strap on the armor. We got to act like there really is a war, and we have to realize that our part really does make a difference, and that the fact is that the battle is unavoidable. The battle's unavoidable. So there really is a cosmic battle that has been raging since before time began, and it's going on even now, and you and I are a part of this war. It's called spiritual warfare, and it's very real. Amen? It's very, very real. So we have to remember that it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness of this age. In Ephesians 6 and 12 again, let me show you what it says. It'll be on the screen for you here. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Do you understand that? We're not fighting against one another. We're fighting against those things that influence us. There are things in this world that will influence you. And you gotta make up your mind. Am I gonna be influenced by good or am I gonna be influenced by bad? Look, we gotta come to the place, church, where something of God begins to well up inside of us and we just look the devil right in the face and say, devil, not today. Not today. I'm a child of the Most High God. You got no authority in my life. Get behind me. You got no place in my life. Problem with all that is, sometimes he comes dressed up like something we might like. Boy, I'll tell you what. I just wonder just how daggum close I can get to the fire without getting burnt. I got news for you. I spent enough time in my life around a campfire, you can't get near a campfire without at least smelling like smoke. You understand where I'm going with that? You hearing me? Listen, number one, the battle is unavoidable. The battle is unavoidable. If you're a child of God, the battle is unavoidable. Number two, the enemy is invisible. You and I can't see him. You and I can't see him. Those things that we can't see, feel, touch, and hear are not the problem. I said can't, didn't I? The things that we can see, feel, and touch, and hear are not the problem. The things that we fight against are spiritual in nature, and we cannot fight them in the flesh. You can't fight them in the flesh. The enemy would have you and I believe that because he's invisible, he's really just fictional. I said this on Wednesday night. The devil, we think about the devil, we think about a guy with some horns and a pitchfork and a pointy tail dressed in a red suit. That is not him. That is some goofball's rendition of what he thinks the devil ought to look like. But the scripture said, no, that's not true. He was beautiful. The Bible even goes so far in another place as to say that he comes to us as an angel of light. I'll do the preaching. It's what he does. It's what he started it clear back in the Garden of Eden. He deceived Adam and Eve. That's what he does. That's who he is. He's a deceiver. He is not fictional. He's very real. Look at it this way. There was a, you know, and I'm looking forward to this. One day we're going to have an alternative here for Halloween and trick-or-treating and stuff. And when we were in Utah, we had what we called a harvest carnival, and we had homemade games, and you know, we had a bounce house we rented, but we have our own now, and all those kinds of things, and all this fun stuff that kids can do, and they win prizes and stuffed animals and all that kind of stuff, and it's going to be a great community event, I believe, right here one day. It's going to be awesome. But there was one a church that put on a carnival like this, and they had in the back of a pickup, there was some steps that led up into the back of this pickup, and the kids would walk up the steps and stand in the back of the pickup, and there was a sheet, a plywood that was laid there, and it had holes cut all through it, and underneath there was a sheet that had been draped like a big curtain all around it, and what the deal was, you got a little plastic hammer. And when you climbed up there, these little puppets would pop, their heads would pop up. It's whack-a-mole, okay? Like whack-a-mole, except it was whack-a-puppet. Alright, I mean, we improvise here. And so there were, this little boy was, you know, the puppet, and he, every time he'd whack one, another one would jump up over here, and he'd try, and he was just chasing these puppets all over the place, trying to whack them on. Finally, this other little boy is watching this whole thing go on, and he gets so frustrated, because what in the world's going on? He goes up there and he rips the sheet right off the thing. And underneath is about four or five adults with puppets in their hand. And they're like, busted. Listen, the moles or the puppets ain't the problem. It's what's underlying. It's what's underneath. It's those things that you and I can't see that's the problem. It's those, they're manipulating the puppets. And those are the things that you and I have to understand, that they are not the problem. It's what's under the surface. It's what you can't see that's the problem. And if we spend all of our time whacking at the symptoms and that keep popping up in our lives and never deal with who's behind the curtain, we'll never get the victory. You'll never get the victory, church. I'm telling you, it sounds really kind of profound, but it is as basic as green grass. It really is. We have to understand these things. It's only when we pull back the curtain and really begin to fully expose the source that we can deal with who needs to be dealt with. Understand this, church. Even though Satan's real and invisible, he is not God's peer, nor is he God's counterpart. Sometimes, church, we give Satan too much credit. Sometimes we give Him too much credit, but we need to remember that He is limited. He has boundaries. God does not. God is boundless. Hallelujah. We need to understand that Satan can't be everywhere at once. Only God is omnipresent. Church, we need to understand that Satan can't read your mind. Only God is omniscient. Satan is an illusionist. Satan is an illusionist. That he makes things that seem one way, but really they're another. That's why you better know whether you've been washed in the blood or not. Sometimes you might have to get up in front of that mirror and look at yourself and say, hey, I've been washed in the blood. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. Hello. He's an illusionist, a master of deception. He uses trickery to mislead. Only our God can work real miracles. Remember what He said to Eve? You can eat of this tree. You ain't going to die. You eat of this tree, you're going to be as smart as God, and that's why He don't want you to eat it, because He don't want you to be as smart as He is. Oh, well, that can't be all that bad. Took a big bite. Instantly started dying. Best of all, only God can work real miracles. Only God can work real miracles. And all, listen, Satan's running out of time, church. Why do you think he's turning up the heat? Why do you think he's attacking like never before? Because he's running out of time. Only God is eternal. Church, we need to not be afraid if the all-powerful God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid, but we have to be on our guard. I'm reminded of a story that Mike Young told me one time, that they were on a bus and they were going to this event, and there were some people that were on the bus, and they were just, I mean, they were raunchy. They weren't just cussing, they were raunchy. And Mike had heard about all of it he wanted, and so he thought, well, I'm going to have to deal with this. And so he went back there to confront the guy. And Mike said when he stood up and was talking to the guy, got prepared to talk to the guy, that the guy's whole facial expression changed from rage and, you know, just being nasty and ugly to just... And so Mike did, let him have it. When Mike went to turn around, there was a guy about 9 feet tall standing behind him. I don't know. He was a guy like Glenn, just a big guy. And he was standing right behind Mike. And Mike's, you know, he's a little smaller than I am, height-wise. But see, it wasn't about Mike. It was about the guy that was behind him. Mike didn't know he was back there. He's like, well, I got this. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Me and you, pal. It was the guy that was behind him. It's who's behind us, church. We got to understand that we got one that's behind us. And the enemy's like, no, don't want none of that. I don't want none of that. Mm-mm. We've got to be on our guard. Look again at Ephesians 6 and 12, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The end of the verse talks about the location of the war. It is in heavenly places. In church, let me break it down for you. You and I are not in heavenly places. We are earthlings and we live on the planet. We live on planet Earth. So it's kind of a, I'm going to fix it for you in just a minute. Right? So if the battle's waged in the heavenlies and we live down here, how is it then that we get engaged? Well, Paul gives us hints all throughout the book of Ephesians if we just take time to go back and read them and see what he says. So let's just do that right quick. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. You know what a pastor just loves to hear is the rustle of pages. People are turning in their Bible, and I love it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing," where? In heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places in Christ. So we have spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So then if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20, you'll see that he says, "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." So now we see that Christ is seated in the heavenly places. And so now if you turn a few more pages, jump over to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse 10, this is what you're going to find. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God," the manifold wisdom of God, "might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." Let me read it again. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God." You know what a manifold is? A manifold is something that has like one inlet, but lots of outlets. So the inlet is God, right? It's coming from God, but it's got all these outlets, and you and I are part of the outlet. It's the manifold wisdom of God that might be made known by the church. That's us. By the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. So now if you jump back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 2, read verses 4 through 6 with me, it says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together." Where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So church, we really are in heavenly places. I mean, how cool is that? Huh? That's awesome stuff. So because we have this relationship with Jesus, we are seated in heavenly places with Him. And so we have access to all the spiritual gifts and the blessings that have been given to us by God to actually combat and defeat the enemy in our lives. You have been given everything that you need to defeat the enemy. Oh man, you got to understand this today, church. Listen, so we have access to spiritual gifts and blessings that have been given to us by God to actually combat and defeat the enemy. How many of you, does that empower anybody? Does that empower anybody to know I can walk out of this place empowered by God to do battle and to not just do battle, it says to defeat the enemy in our life. So again, let me review this for you. We need to understand, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, number one, we understand that the battle is unavoidable. You cannot get out of the battle. The battle is unavoidable. Number two, the enemy is invisible. And number three, the location is accessible. The location is accessible. You can get there. You can be in that place. You are in that place in Christ Jesus. The location is accessible. Church, you and I have full rights and privileges to access the heavenly places where all the blessings are being stored. You have that right as a child of the Most High God. So I said all this to get us to this place and to grab a hold of this one thing and to understand that if we're going to be victorious, church, in this battle, you got to understand this. There is a divinely authorized mechanism that God has put in place that allows us to tap into heavenly places no matter where we are. The Bible talks about six pieces of armor. Six. Thanks, brother. But the reality is there's seven. Listen, you might be down at Tommy's. You might be over at Ray's. You might even be at Dell's. But you can tap into the heavenly places, regardless of where you are. It's this new mechanism, this number seven piece, is this mechanism is called prayer. Prayer. Do you think that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13, my house shall be called a house of prayer, just because he thought it sounded nice? As a body, church, we are being challenged. We are called by God to pray. We run it on our screens at the beginning of the service. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. You're going to heal this nation. Listen, Paul isn't writing to individuals. You have to understand that. You got to remember that this is not a letter to a bunch of individuals. It is a letter to the body of Christ, to the church. And he's calling the church to be divine warriors. He's calling the church to be divine warriors, to stand as one man, fully armed, standing against the enemy in our culture. I keep going back to this guy because I love this guy. King David was one guy. He was one guy. He was the least in his entire family. He was nobody to know. The only people that knew him was them stinking sheep. And he protected those sheep with everything that he had. You know why? Because he was put in charge of those sheep. And when David went in under the order of his father to take some cheese and some bread to his brothers and bring a report back to a concerned dad that just wants to know how's my boys doing? And when he gets there, David's already been anointed. And when he gets there, they got an attitude. With whom have you left those few stinking sheep? Well, gee, I'm just here to bring you some food. You know, some lunch. Check on you. Dad wants to know how. Dad's worried, but he wants to know how you guys are doing. And David walks out, or Goliath walks out on the far hillside and starts running off at the mouth. And David's like, what in the world is that? You read it. It's in there. It don't sound like what I'm saying, but it's in there. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that she should defy the armies? And the army of Israel is freaking out over here. They're shaking in their boots. He's calling, he's challenging them. He's saying, come on out, let's fight. They're like, ain't no way, dude. You are 9 feet 9 inches tall. We ain't coming out there. David says, I will. David knew who he was. David knew who was behind him. David knew in whom he had believed. David said, hey, I'll go. And by the way, what is it that the guy gets that kills this guy? Son. He just goes down to the brook. He runs down there, picks out 5 nice smooth stones, and then he runs to this giant that is ridiculing him and mocking him and telling him, we're going to give your bodies to, the birds of the air and the beasts of the... David's like, no, I don't think so. and he took him out. What you and I can do as individuals, he is calling you and I to stand as one man, fully armed, standing against the enemies of the culture. The church can only be as strong. Listen, this is an indictment. And you might not like it. I can't help it. I just got to give you what I get. As soon as I find it again. The church can only be as strong as the individual members of it. So we must be armed. Remember that Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. So as the church prays, that is the extent that we'll be able to access all the blessings and the resources of the authority that has been given to us to stand against the enemy. So if you and I refuse to pray, we're wasting our time. We have to pray. The reality is that it is prayer that activates the armor of God. So again, the battle, number one, is unavoidable. The enemy is invisible. The location is accessible. And your weapons are not physical. Your weapons are not physical. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17 and 18 talks about God putting on the armor. I'm only going to read you verse 17. He put on the righteousness. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. This is talking about God. This is talking about God, so we have to understand. So this armor that Paul's talking about is really the army of God that he is talking about and is handing over to us. Church, if we want weapons that work, you better put on the armor of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 4 says this, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So Paul was human. So consequently, he was susceptible to all kinds of difficulties and oversights and weaknesses. Yet he said that he and his fellow workers did not wage war with human plans and methods. You want an illustration? Battle of Jericho. Listen, here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to go march around that city. Don't say a word. Just go march around that thing for 6 days, one time a day. Just go march around it. Seventh day, march around it seven times, blow your horn, and shout. We're not, no cannons, no tanks, no spirit, no Apache helicopters, no nukes. Just being obedient to God. Doing exactly, line upon line, what God said. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. This is when I want you to do it. But this day it's going to be different. You're going to walk around it. You're going to walk around it. You're going to walk around it. You're going to walk. And the 70, you're going to blow the trumpet and you're going to shout. And the wall, poof, listen. For 6 days they walked around that place, and them clowns on the roof, on the top of that wall, they're calling them everything but a milk cow. I mean, they're mocking them. What are you bunch of fools doing? You know how stupid you look right now? You guys, what are you doing? We just had that sod put in there. That's good grass. You guys are tromping it all down. You know how bad them guys wanted to say, well, you just wait till day seven. You think this is crazy?
Wait till day seven.
And they just laughed, mocked. There are people that are going to laugh and mock you. There are people laugh at me all the time, especially some of them that have known me for a long, long time. I love it when they come in here and they're like, he's preaching? That guy? Here I am. Crazy, isn't it? Especially some that have known me for a day or two. Or 40 years or better. Not human plans. Not human methods. Should I give you another example? How about before the war? Because it's the reason that those guys had the faith to walk around the building when Joshua said, listen, we got to restore some of the things that God has called us to do. And so, you know, we've been wandering through the desert for these 40 years and now we're ready to cross over and take the promised land. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to circumcise all the fighting men. You know, they were running for the front of that line. And you and I would say, well, let's do it on this side of the river so that at least we have the river as a buffer for the attack. Joshua said, no, let's go over here on this side of the river within striking distance of the enemy and there we will completely disable. Men ain't moving much. Disabled. Listen, you are disabled in that moment as a man. You ain't wanting to fight nobody. It took faith. It took faith. That's not the way we want to do it. Paul equated the Christian life to a war. This war isn't flesh and blood, but against the principalities of the unseen world. The Christian life is a spiritual battle against spiritual forces aligned against Christ. And fighting this spiritual battle with weapons of the world, with physical strength, with worldly strategies, with material wealth would in fact be foolish. A spiritual battle requires spiritual weapons that can only come from God. A spiritual battle requires spiritual weapons. We aren't going to have deliverance, church, in the physical realm until we have a revival in our spirit. I don't know about the rest of you, but I need a revival in my spirit. I need a revival in my spirit. If a spiritual battle requires spiritual weapons, so if we're going to see things change, we're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. I want to wrap it up with this. The number one, the battle is unavoidable. You're in the battle. Understand, I've said this 4 or 5 times because I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. The battle is unavoidable. The enemy is invisible. You can't see him. The location is accessible. The weapons, number four, are not physical. I love this one. This is going to make somebody shout. It's going to make somebody, it's going to set somebody free. I believe it. The battle is unavoidable. The enemy is invisible. The location is accessible. The weapons are not physical. And the victory is irrevocable. The victory, church, is irrevocable. We are on the winning side. Hallelujah. We are on the winning side. Woo! The victory has been won on you and my behalf. And when it's all said and done, the enemy already knows that he doesn't even stand a chance. He doesn't even stand a chance. He's just showing up for the fight and he knows he's going to get whipped. Here's what it says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they are tormented day and night forever. He will be dealt with at one time. In one day, in one moment, the enemy will in fact be dealt with. You won't have to deal with him ever again. Not no more, not no how, not never. Understand that, church. Revelation, let me jump on here just a little bit longer in chapter 22 in the first 7 verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of this, of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives the light, and shall reign forever and ever. And then He said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show His servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, woo! Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Behold. You know why they say behold? Because it's a declaration. It's an announcement. It's like, hey! All he's doing is trying to get your attention. And then he makes this powerful statement. I am coming quickly. Come on. Come on. I'm coming quickly. You want to be blessed? Keep the words of the book. Keep the words of the Bible. I gave you another... I want you to put that up. I don't have it in front of me. Let me just come over here and cheat. It says, when God wanted to create fish, He spoke to the sea. When God wanted to create trees, He spoke to the earth. But when God wanted to create man, He turned to Himself. And then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Note this. If you take a fish out of water, it'll die. And if you remove a tree from the soil, it'll also die. Likewise, when man is disconnected from God, he dies. God is our natural environment. We were created to live in His presence. We have to be connected to Him because it is only in Him that life exists. So let's stay connected to God. We recall that water without fish is still water. But fish without water is nothing. The soil without the tree is still soil, but the tree without the soil is nothing. Most importantly, God without man is still God. But man without God is nothing. Church, that's powerful. That's powerful. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, that don't mean him make him any less real. I don't believe God's word. Well, you don't have to. That don't mean God's word ain't true. I know this much. He said this. He said that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. He said in another place that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. Listen, you can know the Bible from front to back, cover to cover. You can have all kinds of head knowledge, but if you don't have it in your heart, if there hasn't come a transformation of your heart, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. It's not scary to become a child of God. I've talked about a battle. I've talked about a war that you will automatically be signed up for should you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you something. It's not scary. When you know that you're on the winning team. Yeah, but preacher, what happens if I die? Well, you graduate. You graduate. One of my favorite old gospel singers, Jake Hess. He used to sing a song that death ain't no big deal. And it really isn't. When you and I know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, death ain't no big deal. When I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep me against anything, and should some way, somehow, something happen, listen, there's people all over the place. My brother Rick, I've known this guy almost my whole life. And up until just recently, every morning, he got up, put on a uniform. And on that uniform, there was a badge. On his hip was a gun. And he went out. He protected our community and our county as a county sheriff. Every morning he, at least figuratively, looked death right in the face. Might not come home to Karen, but knew what he was called to do. Church, the only way you can have that kind of faith, the only way that you can live that kind of life is to know in whom you've believed. I'm going to get up in the morning at 1:30. I'm going to go out in my driveway and I'm going to fire up that old Kenworth. I'm going to climb in it and I'm going to shut the door and I'm going to take off and I'm going to go haul logs all day. And if for some reason something happens and I don't come home to Tammy, she's not going to have to wonder where I'm at. And I'm not scared. I drive some pretty crazy roads. I haul some pretty big equipment. But I'm not scared. Why? Because I have faith. I know if I die where I'm going. The devil will come to you and say, yeah, but what about that? What about that? What about the other thing? No, I have an advocate, devil. I have an advocate with the Father. And when he stands before God, he says, I don't see that. I don't see that. Been washed in the blood. It's been washed away. Father, I love you today. And I thank you for giving me the strength, the words, the unction to say the things that I've said today. Lord, I stand on those words because they're from your word. Everything I've said today, God, to the best of my ability, I've backed it up with your word. And Lord, the most important thing is salvation. Your Son never came to this earth, God, to create religion. He came to this earth, church, to restore a relationship between an awesome and an almighty holy God with a sinful, rebellious people. So there's a gap. There's a breach. And the only way to cross the gap, the only way to get across the breach is through the cross. And today, with heads bowed and eyes closed and people praying, you watching by way of the internet today, if you've never accepted Jesus, if you're in this room today and you've never accepted Jesus, if you don't know that you know that you know that if He came today that you'd go to be with Him, if you don't know that, you can know today beyond any shadow of a doubt. You don't have to wonder. You can have what I call know-so salvation. That I know, that I know, that I know, that I know. Oh, preacher, you don't know what all I've done. Nope, I don't. And you don't know what all I've done, but I know this. I know that if you'll cry out to God, just like I've cried out to God, God will forgive you and He'll set you free. He'll forgive you and He'll set you free. He'll forgive you and He'll set you free. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying today in this place. This message has been about prayer. And prayer changes things. Your pastor stands before you today because a little old lady prayed for me. And she refused to give up. Even when I wasn't worth really even praying for, she prayed. And she prayed and she prayed. Today, if you're here today in the sound of my voice and you'd say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I want to. I want to make sure. I want to be positive that if the Lord came, I'd go to be with Him in heaven." If that's you today, anywhere in this room, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you today. Anybody at all, say, "Preacher, that's me." Amen, young man. Somebody else, maybe by way of the internet, you're watching today and you'd say, "Hey, I need to give my life to the Lord." I'm going to pray in just a minute. And if that's you, I want you to pray that prayer and you'd be just as saved as anybody else in this place. One more time, anybody say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus." Hallelujah. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come up here. Come to the front. I want to pray with you. Amen. If you're on the internet and you're watching right now, type something in the comments or whatever. Give us a way to reach out to you and to minister to you and to meet your need. But pray this prayer with me, would you? Say, "Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your word. And I thank You for forgiveness. I ask You now to come into my heart, to forgive me of all my sin, to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll serve You and I'll fight with You and I'll follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're as saved as anybody else. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today by way of the internet. Thanks for coming today and being a part of what we've done here. I just pray that today, something of this word has touched your heart and will change you for God's glory. Amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a good rest of your day.